sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. My King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, If You Love Me. Today's message comes from Psalm 66, 8-20, and the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15-21. But let us open with prayer. Our glorious God, we give you thanks. In your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You chose us before the world was made to be your holy people, without fault in your sight. You adopted us as your children in Christ. You have set us free by his blood. You have forgiven our sins. You have made known to us your secret purpose to bring heaven and earth into unity in Christ. You have given us your Holy Spirit, the seal and pledge of our inheritance. So all praise and glory be yours, O God, for the richness of your grace, for the splendor of your gifts, for the wonder of your love. Amen. So now turn in your Bibles to Psalm 66, beginning at verse 8. O bless our God, you peoples, make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living, does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the next. You have laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads when we went through fire and through water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So our Old Testament lesson today from Psalm 66 by an unknown author, but most likely a person of importance and wealth, as he is willing to make many and costly sacrifices. This psalm is a psalm of praise in which the psalmist makes the effort to offer praises to God in several different ways. And the portion we read today is of the blessings of God and the blessings to God. In this psalm, the word bless is used to indicate when we bless God. We are identifying him as the source of all our blessings, with the fulfillment of our needs. In more modern thought, the psalmist is offering thanks to God for what God has provided. And we begin with, O bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise be heard. We are told here that the blessing of God is to come from all people, and not just from the psalmist or even people of Israel, but all peoples of all nations. We often are way too focused on ourselves, our families, or the small groups we associate closely with. God is certainly aware of us, but God is aware of much more. We should always reach out in our blessings beyond ourselves. The psalmist also states our praises to be heard. We need our quiet time in our closet for prayer, but we also need time where our voices are heard beyond the closet. Worship of God is not only a private matter, and this is where the LPEs, liberal progressive elites, get it wrong. Worship is not something we do behind closed doors, but should be a way of life in all that we do. We should live our faith and reach out to others to fulfill the desire God has each of us. And then going to verses 10 through 12, they seem just a little dark and excessive. But also we should all expect to be tested, not because God enjoys it, but rather that we become better for it. The life of a Christian is not a guarantee of easy living. There may be times of affliction, men to ride over our backs, going through fire and water, all signs of persecution, and all things that the early Jewish fathers had already experienced. And verse 12 ends with, "But you brought us out to rich fulfillment." The psalmist states that not only did God fulfill his promises of good, but in abundance. For it is here called rich fulfillment. We do not always understand the mind of God, but we are to be reassured there is a plan. And then in verses 13 through 15 tell of how the psalmist plans to worship with burnt offerings in abundance, and why I think this was a person of wealth, maybe even one of the early kings. He was going to do far more than what we expected of him. We don't offer burnt offerings anymore, but we also must be careful of being a little stingy with our own worship. Now the rest of this psalm is where the psalmist offers praise to God, indicating his desire to worship God in praise and blessings as used here. Come and hear, all you who fear God, I will declare what he has done for my soul. It is like the evangelist yelling out, can I get a witness? The psalmist is very willing to reach out to any who will come. The psalmist has been filled with the very presence of God. And then we have, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. This concluding verse is an affirmation of the psalmist's blessing of the Lord based on the psalmist's realization of God's continuing goodness in his life. We are so quick to attempt to place blame when things go wrong. But how quick are we to return thanks to God when things go well? When we think God has answered our prayer, we are glad. But what about the times that God has not answered our prayers, or at least not in the way we wanted him to answer? We should still praise God through good, for also the bad. For as yet, we do not always understand what is actually happening. Now let us turn in our gospel lesson to John 14 and verses 15 through 21. And Jesus is speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, he will be within you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. But a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, just before these words, Jesus had comforted his disciples after he announced his coming death. We have another example of doubting Thomas and a Philip asking serious questions. And the way Jesus answers must have left the disciples in a bit of a fog, for they could not yet truly understand. And I feel many of us fall in this same situation at times in our own faith journey, where we attempt to do the right thing, but are often unsure. And Jesus in today's lesson promises hope to his disciples of that day, as well as hope for us in this day. And we open this selection with a direct statement by Jesus, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Sounds simple in theory, but is very difficult in real life. John sums up the love of Christ in one word, obedience. The love that Jesus is talking about here was difficult to understand 2,000 years ago, and is even more difficult today by the way our society has distorted the word. To understand how our obedience to Christ will show our true love, we must understand the love that Jesus was speaking. How many of us have avowed our love to someone only to later cause them pain and hurt? We have stated we love our parents when they give us the good things, but then disappoint them by our actions and disobedience. We promise our children, then simply don't have the time for them when they need it most. We can continue this list on and on. So what do we mean by love? Is it passion, desire, lust, convenience, or just plain opportunity? Is there commitment in our love? If we could bring someone here from the late 1800s and drop them suddenly into our world of TV and media, when they see and hear how we envision the word love, would they even have half a chance at understanding what we're talking about from the perspective of love as they understood it? We are responsible for the distortion of what is called love today. We support programming and publications that intentionally distort love for profit. Our children have had little or no chance to truly understand love. Nearly 60% of Christian ministers have either experienced pornography or will admit a problem or addiction with it. What chance have we to understand the love of Jesus? And then, in John 15 and verses 13 and 14, Jesus expands his meaning of love with, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends, for you are my friends, if you do what I command you." Are we beginning to see a pattern here? Love is not about what I get, but love is something I can give. When you truly and faithfully love, you will receive greatly. But you must first be willing to give love. To give love, we must submit to those we love in the sense that we place their needs above ours. This is the love of Jesus, that he willingly laid down his life for us, even though those of us he had not yet met in flesh were here. True love between people is always a give and take. I give to you, but to be able to give, you must accept or take. True love is never one way. If you take my love, you should or will feel the desire to return my love. But today, words are just words. We seldom connect our words to actions, but Jesus did. He willingly died a horrible death that we may receive life. And what he asked in return is obedience. William Barclay, in his commentary, states, "It was by his obedience that Jesus showed his love of God. It is by our obedience that we must show our love to Jesus. For real love is shown only in true obedience. And the result is that what men call love is not love at all. For real love is the rarest thing in the world. So if such love is so rare, so difficult to achieve, How are we ever going to be able to achieve it? We have our past experiences, many of which will handicap our ability to experience true love. We all have difficulties in life that distract us. We all have our own personal conflict with life and others. The task Jesus sets before us is virtually impossible if left to ourselves. We must draw back from self and turn to Jesus if we will ever have a chance for true love. We must find a way to be obedient. And again, Barclay tells us, obviously this love which issues in obedience is not an easy thing. But Jesus does not leave us to struggle with the Christian life alone. Finally, we have each other, the body of Christ, for help and assistance. Secondly, we have God's holy word, the Bible, for guidance. But most important, Jesus promises us, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. We will not be left alone. And the Greek word here translated as helper is what many have called an untranslatable word, parakletos. This was in early times translated as comforter and then helper and then advocate. It means something more like someone who is called in. In the legal world, this could be an attorney or a witness or even an expert that would bolster your case. The important part is that this is someone who is called in to help. In today's world, maybe a better way to look at this is what this helper who is to come to cope with our problems. All of these are somewhat accurate depending on circumstance. This helper I refer to as the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit substitutes victorious for defeated living. And Barclay sums this up with, so what Jesus is saying is, I am setting you a hard task. I am sending you out on an engagement very difficult. I am going to send you someone who will guide you and will make you able to do it. The Holy Spirit will bring you truth and will make you able to cope with the battle for truth. Well, all this sounds great. We read our Bibles, we sit back, and we wait for Jesus to send help anytime we have difficulty, just like the Lone Ranger or the Calvary, just in the nick of time. And this is a very fallacy that much of the Christian world lives with today. We cannot just sit and wait. We must first live and obey. And it continues, the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So as we continue with verse 17, Jesus tells us our helper cannot be received by or seen by the world. So how are we to know when the helper arrives? In the language of Jesus, we must understand what he means by the world. We are surrounded by the world. We must interface with the world every day. We have family members who are of the world. We are to live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Now, everyone confused now? Those who live in truth, the only truth of Jesus Christ, will be separated from the world, for the world cannot truly see Jesus. Those who love Jesus, as commanded, can see Jesus in truth. Many who claim to know Jesus but do not live in Jesus are only cheating themselves. It is in our obedience that we find the love of Jesus. A couple years ago, my wife and I took a bus trip to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to a Gaither vocal concert. Well, there you have to notice the Amish driving in their horse-drawn buggies, wearing simple clothing, and houses with no electricity. They have taken this idea of separation from the world to a degree physically obvious. And I give them credit for their faith. But this is simply not what Jesus is asking. What Jesus is seeking is a spiritual separation. The Amish visibly attempt to live their faith. But if Jesus looks into your heart, will your faith be that obvious? And these of the world simply cannot find Jesus no matter what they claim. They invent their own Jesus for their convenience, so they will not have to change how they live. They have an elaborate created faith that missed the mark by a mile and will cost them their souls. They create their own truth for the same reason. Why don't they have the Holy Spirit to help? The simple fact is that the world is too busy to give the Holy Spirit a chance to enter in. For the Holy Spirit, great crashes no man's heart. He wants to be received. We must invite the Holy Spirit in. To invite Him, we must be aware of Him. We must know just how important this is. I begin every sermon preparation with an invitation to the Holy Spirit. I begin every prayer with the same invitation. I do not pray to the Holy Spirit, but when I pray to God in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit hears. And it continues, He will give you, is what Jesus says, not I, but God, and especially not the Spirit, is genuine to be a genie to be summoned by us. This Holy Spirit should be considered a close ally through our relationship with Jesus. We can only attain that closeness through obedience. But if you know Him, He dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So we close this selection with a clear reference to the Trinity as by Jesus saying, a little while longer and the world sees me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and then manifest myself to him. Those who obey will not be abandoned. Jesus knows of his impending death. The world would see him physically no more. But those who believe and love will see Jesus. Did you ever wonder why Jesus did not appear after the resurrection in some grand display to all of Jerusalem? The resurrection of Jerusalem, of Jesus, is only for those that are His. And He says, because I live, you will live also. The resurrection is for believers and those who live as they believe. There is not a get-out-of-jail-free card in the Bible. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all entwined together, each involved in our hearts as needed. God the Father ordains all of this and will be. Jesus shows us the clear path. The Holy Spirit empowers us to follow. So he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. We do not live in a fairy tale world of they lived happily ever after. Salvation is an active life we all must follow to see Jesus. We must show our love through our obedience. We must first give to Jesus in how we live. If you love me, we begin this message. If we obey and follow the life laid out for us, we'll be declared as lovers of Jesus, and he will return to us 100-fold in his love in eternity. And all this in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us close with prayer. Now to him who has power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations forever and ever. Go out into the world as a beacon of Jesus that the world may see truth. And this in the name of God the Father, his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power and involvement of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the videos of this message on our website. This is from Christ Range Church. www.crpchurch.com.
Glory. I'm filled.